when we do get it to the game, everything's fine until we hit a little bit of turbulence. And it's like I tell our guys, you know, skilled sailor isn't made on smooth seas. Like anybody, if you can sail a boat on smooth seas, that's what you're supposed to do. Anybody can do that. But, you know, what differentiates people is the ones who can captain it through hurricanes, whatever out there, rocky seas. And, you know, when we get a little bit rocky, you know, we kind of go overboard, to keep the analogy going, I guess. But
welcome back, everybody, to the latest edition of Boot Up, the LSU Basketball Podcast. I am Cody Worsham, digital media reporter for LSU Athletics. Glad you could be here. On today's show, very excited to bring back our very first guest and our most important guest, let's be honest. It's the guy that y'all want to hear from more than anybody, including myself. It's LSU basketball coach Will Wade. He sat down with me for about 15 minutes to quickly recap LSU's voyage into the Western frontier. I say voyage intentionally because Will Wade gets into a very interesting sailing metaphor later in the podcast, which, I mean, if you don't get excited about sailing metaphors, what do you get excited about when you wake up in the morning? So we recap very quickly LSU's 82-76 defeat to a very good Houston team, but a game that LSU probably should have won, a game that LSU in the second half was up 15, at that point had over an 80% chance to win, according to KenPom.com, and let that one get away. So we talk a little bit about some of the lessons learned from that game and how those lessons were applied in the very next game, which LSU won in Las Vegas very, very late on Saturday night, a 78-74 win over St. Mary's, which is one of the better programs in the country over the last 5 years. And it was a good win for LSU. Overall, they are now 8-3 on the season. They are getting ready for a very, very big game on Friday at home against Furman. Furman, for those who don't know, is one of just the very few undefeated teams left in the country. They're in the top 25. They're really good. Will Wade, he knows how good they are. You'll hear about that at the end of this interview. This is a very, very good basketball team that LSU is getting ready to play. And look, if you are a fan in the area, this is a game that you want to be at. Furman is the real deal. Their center, Rafferty, is one of the best players in the country. He was one of the most efficient offensive players in the country last year. Their point guard's very good. They beat Villanova at Villanova. And they beat Loyola Chicago at Loyola Chicago, so they have two wins over Final Four teams, including the defending national champions, under their belt already. So they will not be intimidated by going anywhere in the country, including Baton Rouge, but if you are a fan of the LSU basketball program and you can get to this game, get there and try to make it as intimidating an atmosphere as possible, because they're the real deal, and it's going to be a good game for the Tigers. It's also a good game to try to get to before Christmas. A couple little promotions going on at the game. It's a buy one, get one ticket offer. So you can go to lsutix.net and you actually get a buy one, get one free, which is an excellent, excellent deal. And there's also going to be a Fiesta Bowl poster giveaway while supplies last. So lots of goodies for fans who show up for this game, not the least of which is going to be a very good basketball game. Before we get to the interview with Will Wade, I do want to quickly give a very, 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 very brief summary of what I saw on LSU's road trip, the Houston game and the St. Mary's game. And the way that I'll do that is not quite as in-depth as I normally do. It's not going to be as numbers intensive. It's going to be just really one overall thought from each game and then a couple quick minor observations. My one big thought from the Houston game, and I pose this to Will in a question, and I'll kind of expand on it here so you know what I'm talking about when I ask the question. A lot of times when a team loses a game, the coach or the players or a media member says, yeah, I hope they learn from that game. I hope they learn from their mistakes and they get better and learn from that experience. And that's certainly the case for LSU's trip to Houston. I think they want to learn from that experience. I think fans want them to learn from that experience. When you're up 15 in the second half over a top 25 team, even if it's on the road, you want to learn how to close those games out. But my thought after that game was not necessarily that LSU needs to learn from that game, although they do. I think they need to learn from that team. I think they need to look at Houston, and I think they may have already done some of this, particularly the way they played against St. Mary's. I think they need to learn from that Houston team. That was a tough team. That was a physical team. That was a nasty team. And I thought their toughness and their physicality is what made the difference in the game. And Will actually has a really good answer for why he thought they got such an edge physically, because I saw the practices that LSU had leading up to that game. They were physical, aggressive, intense practices. And when LSU is playing at its peak toughness this season, I think they're very good. I think they have their maximum toughness effort is better than where it was last year, and it was better than where I expected it to be this year. They're just going to have to learn how to sustain that over 40 minutes. And I don't think it's actually a toughness issue. I did at first, but talking to Will, talking to a few other people, I think it's more of an experience issue. I think this team hasn't learned yet what it means to sustain that kind of effort over 40 minutes because they're so young. And I don't want to beat a dead horse. I know fans don't like hearing this, but as every team in the last 10 years at LSU has been, this team's young, and it's especially young. I actually tweeted this earlier at Cody Worsham. LSU is 330th this year in experience, and over the last decade, they average being 290th in the country in experience. So they haven't sustained personnel and kept people around the program for a long time at this program for the last decade. That's going to be a big challenge for Wade. He's going to have to recruit guys who are going to be around for 3 and 4 years, and I think he started doing that. But this is still a very young team, and they're going to learn, and I think they did learn from that Houston game and Florida State also, that it's not good enough to be as tough as you can possibly be for most of the game. It's got to be the whole game. Houston did that, and so I hope they pick that up from playing against that Houston team. What set them apart, what helped them get that win besides being at home and being a very, very good team of themselves, in my opinion, was just how physical and tough and nasty they were. And I think LSU actually at least showed some signs of learning that lesson. I thought they were the aggressor in that St. Mary's game. And St. Mary's is a good team. I know they're 7-5 or whatever the case may be, but that's a good St. Mary's team. They're going to win 20 games this year, and they're going to be in the hunt for the NCAA tournament. But it was just a good experience for LSU to go to a neutral site to play a team as well-coached and as solid and as experienced as St. Mary's. And most importantly, you got performances from a couple of guys that I think you can really build on. One, first of all, was Tremont Waters. Tremont Waters had the best game that he's had in a very long time, maybe all season. He finished with 18 points, which is the second most he's had all season. He only had 3 assists, but he had a season-low 2 turnovers, and both of those turnovers came late. We'll get to that later. But he was just really solid, and I mentioned this in the interview with Will that you're about to hear, but he let the game come to him in a way that he hasn't this year. He came off the bench. That's the big story, I think, in a lot of circles. I don't really care about that. I don't care if someone starts or comes off the bench. He played 30 minutes. That's more than he played in the last 4 games before that. So he played starters minutes. He let the game come to him. I thought it was interesting that when he first went in the game, the very first set that LSU ran, they ran a horn set for Javonte Smart and actually put Waters in the corner and let him come off a stagger screen. And what I thought was interesting about that is Tremont has tried to do, he did this last year and he did it well because he had to, but he's tried this year when he hasn't needed to initiate offense very, very quickly and attack as soon as he gets across half court or as soon as he sees some kind of opening, rather than make the defense work a little more. By putting him off the ball in that possession, they actually rotated the defense a couple times and then he was able to get in a pick and roll and make a pass. It could have been an assist, so it was an interesting little tweak, but Tremont just let the game come to him. He didn't force anything. He felt his way into the game. He made a couple shots early. He got really hot in the second half. He finished 7 of 12 from the field. He finished 3 of 5 from 3. Again, he only had the 2 turnovers, and he only had 3 assists, but he had 3 or 4 more passes that led to free throws and that could have been assists if guys would have finished. So very, very solid game from Tremont. Was exceptional defensively, part of the reason that LSU forced so many turnovers against St. Mary's, who was not a turnover-prone team coming into the game. They were the third least turnover-prone team in the country coming into the game, and LSU turned them over, I think, 14 times in the first half and close to 20 for the game. So he set the tone defensively. That was good to see. Also, the guy I think that also comes away from that game with a lot of attention from LSU fans, and deservedly so, is Marlon Taylor. The numbers for Taylor won't do it justice. I believe he had 7 points. A couple rebounds, you know, a couple steals or something, but he didn't stuff the stat sheet, but he just made impact play after impact play, and that was shown in the highlights. He had an incredible block in the first half where he rotated from underneath the basket to the wing, contested a shooter, threw his shot into the stands from 4 feet away because he elevated so high. It was a phenomenal block. He had a couple of dunks. I think he hit a three. He made some highlight plays, but he also made some non-highlight plays, like the very last play of the game, basically, where Javonte Smart ran a three-point shooter off the line, and then Marlon came and cleaned it up and contested the three and forced the miss. LSU gets the rebound, make a couple free throws, and they win. He's making more winning plays that go unnoticed. He guarded their second-leading scorer for St. Mary's, Fitz, I believe was his name, and he held him scoreless in the first half, and the first time he scored, Marlon wasn't guarding him. So, and that was an interesting tactical decision, by the way, by Will Wade, to put Marlon, the three, on Fitz, St. Mary's four, and then they put Naz Reed on a guard for St. Mary's, and that really threw St. Mary's off, and I thought that was a smart move. And Marlon gives you that defensive versatility. So Marlon, if you look at his stats, just his raw stats, they're not going to blow you away this year, but he's making an impact as plus-minus is among the best on the team. I think he's number two on the team and plus-minus. He's still figuring the game out. He's got an interesting backstory that I'm going to dive into at some point where he didn't start playing basketball until very late in his life, and he's still learning the game. You can see that, but he plays with so much energy. He's so athletic. I mean, his ceiling is so high, and if he can become a reliable piece for LSU, if he can play, if he just plays like he did against St. Mary's every game the rest of the year, which he won't do. That's a ridiculous thing to ask of a player, to play the same elite game every single game. But if he can show some level of consistency, LSU's ceiling as a team goes to a different level. So good to see Tremont back playing the way that we know he's capable of. Hopefully that's the start of a trend for him. This team will go as he goes. I don't care to argue who the best player on the team is. I do think that Tremont, your point guard, your starting point guard, is always the engine of your team, especially him as dynamic as he can be. So it's good to see him back on the right track, and it's really good to see Marlon Taylor just really settling into that role as a defender, as a guy who can make some offensive plays, and a guy who can just really, really be a shot of energy. I don't think it was any coincidence that after he blocked that shot I was mentioning, LSU went on a 9-0 run immediately after that. Like, he gave them so much energy. He deflated St. Mary's. That's good to see. It shows you the kind of impact that he can have on a game, even if he only scores 7 points. All right, let's go ahead and throw to the Will Wade interview again. The Tigers are at home on Friday against undefeated Furman. That's going to be a 7 p.m. tip-off in the PMAC. Again, buy one, get one free tickets. Fiesta Bowl poster giveaway. It's going to be a good night to be there. I'll be out there. That's not really incentive for you to be there, but all those other reasons are incentive to be there. And the biggest incentive to be there is it's going to be a really good game. Furman is a really good basketball team. You'll hear Will Wade talk about that. This is a really tough test for LSU, and there are no must-wins at this point of year, but it's a really, really important game for LSU, and they're going to need every advantage they can get, including a very packed PMAC. So an undefeated team, a top 25 team, those don't come into the PMAC in the non-conference every single game. You know that. This is a premium matchup, and you got to get out there. So without further ado, let's throw it to my interview with LSU head coach Will Wade. All right, here with LSU basketball coach Will Wade on Boot Up, the LSU Basketball Podcast. Coach, I know you just got back from recruiting. I know you've talked about this in the media, but we haven't talked about it on this show. The two kids that you've signed, James Bishop and Charles Manning, I know you've still got more kids to add to this class, but what do those two guys in particular bring to this hall?
Well, we're going
to
add another two or three more, but, you know, Bishop can really, really score it. Tough kid, gym rat. Loves to play, comes from a great high school program, Mount St. Joe's up in Baltimore. Great AAU program, team thrilled. So somebody who can really, really score the ball. He's got a knack for just getting fouled and drawing fouls and being able to score it. So excited about him. And then Manning is somebody who's extremely, extremely tough. Every time I've seen him play, whether it was in a JUCO showcase camp or a JUCO game or practice, he's always been the hardest playing guy on the court, and that's something that you want from any of your players, to always bring it every game, every practice, and play really hard.
All right, last time we talked on this show, Will, it was before the season. Now we're 11 games in. What's the biggest thing you've learned about your team this year in those 11 games?
Well, that we're, you know, that we've got a lot of growth to go. You know, we're not as far along as we want to be or as we need to be. You know, we've got to just be very simplistic and be very good at just a few things, and try to let that carry us to winning, as opposed to, you know, worrying about and dealing with a lot of different things. We just want to be really, really good at a few areas, and we've got to hone in on those areas and get better and get good at what we're doing. And so, you know, I feel like we've made some progress the last couple of weeks. We've identified some areas, whether it be rebounding and, you know, some offensive areas and some different places we want to get to on the court with our offense to make sure we're putting our guys in the best position possible. I think we've also been able to hone in on some roles. Our guys, you know, early on we were trying to feel each other out, feel out their roles, feel out how they could play their game within the system. And I think now we've got a better sense of that with most of our guys.
I was listening to a radio interview that you did yesterday, and you talked about patience and how you don't necessarily like being patient. And I think GH was on your radio show last night talking about patience as well. When you look at the experience numbers, I think you guys are like 330th in the country in experience. It's been like that at LSU for a few years. What's the difference between, how does it look on the court between an experienced team and an inexperienced team, and then what is the value of having that patience?
Well, you know, I'm not the most patient individual, so, you know, it's part of it's my fault. I probably was a little bit high on my expectations and how quickly we'd be able to adjust. I didn't anticipate as long of a adjustment period as we've had. And so, it's just one of those deals where you've got to learn on the court. And I think the biggest difference is we've actually been practicing very well. If you watched us practice, you'd think, dang, that's a pretty good looking outfit they've got. And we just haven't been able to get it to the game. And when we do get it to the game, everything's fine until we hit a little bit of turbulence. And it's like I tell our guys, you know, skilled sailor isn't made on smooth seas. Like anybody, if you can sail a boat on smooth seas, that's what you're supposed to do. Anybody can do that. But, you know, what differentiates people is the ones who can captain it through hurricanes, whatever out there, rocky seas. And, you know, when we get a little bit rocky, you know, we kind of go overboard, to keep the analogy going, I guess. But, you know, we go overboard and we can't just stabilize ourselves and keep it moving. So we've really got to focus on that, because we're going to be in a lot of tight games, and teams are going to make runs. We're going to be playing other very, very good teams that have a little bit more experience. So we've got to be able to calm ourselves down and do what we do and settle the game back down and be able to navigate through some tougher times. And that takes time. You got to go through some of those experiences. And we went through that experience against Florida State. We went through that experience against Houston. We went through it somewhat against St. Mary's. And so you've got to be able to go through those experiences and learn from those experiences and get better. And hopefully that'll serve us well when we get into SEC play here.
You mentioned Houston there. A lot of times when you lose a game, a coach or a player or media will say, I hope they learn from that game. And I think for the Houston game, you would probably say that. You want to learn from that game. But an observation that I had taken away from that game was that I hope y'all learn from that team. Because watching Houston play, they were nasty. And like their sustained level of toughness was really impressive. When you guys, to me, y'all have a peak level of toughness that's very good, but it's finding the ability to sustain that. Do you see that with your team? Are you trying to get them to sustain that toughness from start to finish in a different way?
Yeah, I do think we need to sustain our toughness, but I don't think that's what happened in the Houston game. What happened in the Houston game goes back to a little bit of our youth, our inexperience, what we were talking about. And so I think we came out, we were pretty tough when we came out, and then they started calling things tight, and we got in some foul trouble, and they got in some foul trouble, and our guys adjusted to the officiating, how it was being officiated, and their guys kind of doubled down and just said, they're just going to have to foul every single one of us out of this game. And I thought that was the difference. And I told our guys afterwards, we got to double down too. If that's what they're going to do, and they're not going to reward us for necessarily adjusting how they wanted us to adjust, then we've got to double down, and we've got to just rear back and just start running people over as well, which is basically what happened. And so I thought that was more of a learning experience from our youth, that we adjusted how we were kind of being instructed to adjust, and they just said, to heck with it. And I equated it to our team after the games when I was at VCU. We pressed, and, you know, we fouled almost every possession in a press, and we just kept fouling all game. You'd call the hand checks early in the game all you wanted. We were just going to keep fouling. We were going to keep pressing. We were going to keep fouling, and we're going to, you know, make the official have the discipline to call that the entire game. But I thought we came out against Houston tough, and I think we are, you know, I don't think we're a soft team. I don't think we're the toughest team by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't think we're a soft team either. But I think what happened there is we adjusted. We probably shouldn't have adjusted, because we definitely didn't get rewarded for adjusting. And we should have just doubled down and just started just bowling them over and trucking them, kind of like they were us.
You talked also in that radio interview that I mentioned earlier about finishing. Actually, I think this was on your radio show last night, that the theme of this week is finishing. How important is finishing to this team, and what are some of the things you guys are doing to try to hammer that into your players?
Well, we took a lot better shots in the St. Mary's game, you know, but we've got to finish around the rim. We didn't finish a bunch of shots around the rim. Like, we just didn't finish. And we got to finish around the rim. But we didn't finish around the rim. It put our transition defense in a tough spot. Allowed them to go on a run because we fouled quite a bit. We've got to be able to, finish defensive possessions. Our first shot defense is pretty good. It's good enough to be a very good basketball team. The problem is we give up too many second, third opportunities. You go back to the Houston game, 18 offensive rebounds. You just can't overcome that in a possession type game, especially with the number of times we turn the ball over. I think that if we can finish possessions better, by rebounding that first miss, that'll help us. And then we need to finish games. We got to be able to close people out and not make things so tight at the end and so hairy at the end. We got to be able to finish games, whether it be, finishing a block out or on a free throw or just, finishing free throws and making free throws down the stretch. That's hurt us in a couple games. So, we've got to get better at finishing. The last part's got to be the strongest part in everything that you do. And we got to be able to close games out and close possessions out on offense and defense.
Tremont came off the bench and had one of his better games for you guys this year. What did you see from him from where I was watching on my couch? It seemed like he kind of let the game come to him a little bit more rather than forcing the issue. Has that been a talking point for you guys?
Thought he played well. You know, the last 30 seconds or so were a little bit shaky, but before that he had played his best game of the year and played like we knew he could play and was very, very capable of playing. I thought it was just, I thought it was good just for him to maybe see the flow of the game. I think sometimes he presses too much early, and he's not able to see the flow of the game and how the game goes. And so I think sometimes it's good for him just to see the flow of the game, see how it goes, see how it's moving, and then be able to adjust from there. So I think that helped him, just being able to see things and kind of ease his way into the game, as opposed to being out there and trying to force things to start the game. But his offense was much better, but more importantly, his defense was much improved. And that's what we need for him. We need him to be really good at the point of attack for us defensively, and I thought that was where he was most improved in the St. Mary's game.
You said on the first episode of this show that, and you said it all offseason, that Skyler Mays was once again your most improved player. 11 games in, he's the most efficient scorer in the SEC. Is that sustainable? I mean, is
Yeah, it's sustainable. Shoot, he plays smart basketball. He doesn't take bad shots. He takes good shots. He picks his spots. Yeah, I would think he's going to stay right up there. We've got quite a few of pretty efficient offensive players. But he's certainly at the top of the list and does a great job. But you know, you get what you earn, and he's earned the right, and he's earned the opportunity to play as well as he's played. And so I think he's going to continue to play well all year. He's going to have an all-conference type season, and that's what he's put the work in all offseason to do. And so he's been just phenomenal. He's just a worker. He goes about his business the right way, and you get rewarded for those sort of things.
Big game coming up Friday against an undefeated top 25 team. Just give us a little scouting report on Furman, the things that they do well, the things that you guys are going to have to do well to win that game.
They're really good, really, really good. You know, it all starts with, you know, Lyons is a good shooter, but Rafferty to me is the key. He's a five-man. He had like 90-some-odd assists last year. He can pass the ball out of the post. They almost play through their five-man with a lot of their with a lot of their actions. They're playing through the five. So he's just an excellent player. We're gonna have to guard the 3-point line. I mean, they shoot the cover off the ball from three. They've got multiple guys out there. They'll have three or four guys out there at any time that shoot 38% plus from three. Usually three guys out there that are shooting 40% plus from three. So we're gonna have to really do a good job of guarding the 3-point line, staying on their shooters, trying to make it into a two-point game where we're shooting twos and they're shooting twos. But they've got a really good team. This will be the best team we've played at home. They look tremendous on film. I've known Coach Ritchie. Their assistant, Dwight Perry, was my graduate assistant at VCU, so I've known him for a long, long time. He's a great, great, great person. And they'll be ready to play. They know what we do. Both those guys have been around me. And they'll be ready to go. But they've got an excellent team. They've got a veteran team. Rafferty's a senior. They've got great shooters around him. They run a very, very good scheme. You know, the offense, they run a lot of stuff through the high post, so it's like a, you know, it's made for the five man to be able to make plays. So it'll be a very, very tough ball game. The best team we've played so far at home, and we're going to need to be ready and try to finish off this pre-Christmas part of our schedule as well as we can.
Last question: how wild did Kent Lowe's birthday get in Las Vegas?
Yeah, not very wild. You know how Ken is. So even though we were in Vegas, I think he may have gone down to play the slots a little bit, but he wasn't too wild. But I was glad we were able to. When I was watching the game, I was glad we were able to give him a shout out on TV there for his birthday. In all seriousness, Kent does a phenomenal job. You won't find anybody more loyal to LSU or to our basketball program, and works extremely hard for our program. Works extremely hard for our players. And he's been an institution here for 30 plus years, so he was pretty excited. He was pretty excited after the win, and I told him, "Sorry, we couldn't stay in Vegas to celebrate. We had to get back." But he's been awesome to work with, and we're glad he's here, and glad we could get him a win on his birthday.
All right, that's LSU head coach Will Wade. Thanks, Will.
Thanks.